Thanks for buttering me up, boys. I enjoyed
That's
that.
what we have
Haven't
to
had that for
do.
a
Now
while. My
we
wife doesn't do
Well, before we get into the serious stuff about what in the hell is going on with the Australian Open, where do we find you? How is life, and what are you doing with it?
I live outside of Byron Bay on 70 acres and loving it. We moved here about 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and the kids. And my son just finished year 12 just the other day, just got back from schoolie, so he's having a good time. My daughter's year 9. Mate, life's great. I work on the property. I've been replanting, re-rainforesting the area with koala trees and also rainforest trees. I work pretty hard around the property to try and keep it pretty clean. And then I do a couple of workout sessions with a group of guys here, and it's a real like male bonding session, and it's just terrific actually. We really enjoy doing some deep breathing stuff and breath holds and exercise, and we play some games, like very childish games. But Brad Sewell, he's up here now, and he kills it in the games. He's a weapon. And we had Justin Kaczynski here for a long time before he returned home, and he was brilliant as well. So those type of blokes come in, and we just exercise and have a good time.
Pat, 70 acres, that's more than enough room for a tennis court or two. Have you? Is it right? It's wrong to assume, but I'd imagine there is a court on your property.
No, it's not wrong to assume, because I resisted for a while until my wife said, "Can we get a tennis court?" And I said, "Why?" She goes, "Well, I want you to hit some tennis balls with me." And I said, "Oh, excellent, let's get one." I couldn't think of anything better, so I got one.
And how often would you use it? How often would you use it for tennis?
Oh, no, once a month,
Well,
maybe.
I guess it's like former champion swimmers that don't have a pool or say, well,
no, they probably don't want to look at it.
Why do I want to go for a swim?
No, horrible idea.
Pat, well, I know you had several roles at Tennis Australia with the Davis Cup after your playing career. We're in a fascinating period of tennis at the moment, particularly for the Australian Open. We've had news today where both TA and the state government have basically released press releases saying absolutely nothing. We are in December and we still don't know if and when the Australian Open is going to head. How have you watched on the situation?
It's interesting. I think it does come down to government whether or not they can allow the players to come out and train while in quarantine. And that's a really tricky thing. The government's trying to work out. They just can't see how it can happen. This is how I understand it. They can't see how it happens. So let's just say they don't play the qualifying event in Australia. So that's less than 256 athletes coming out, men and women. And then, I don't know, do they do doubles? I don't know. So let's say there's 256 less, so probably around about 700 people. Let's say they're allowed to bring a couple of entourage with them as well. That's quite a few people from around the world not to let in. So then the main draw happens and you put a doubles event on. So you're looking at over 1,000 people coming in from around the world. How, what are the chances of them having COVID? I don't know. Probably one or two has got it. Then I guess the big challenge is then how do they intermingle? How do they not intermingle? How do they train? They probably keep it pretty tight. They've got to train. If they don't train, there's no use in coming. They're not coming out if they're going to sit in the room for 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. You need fitness. You need to be hitting balls. You need to be playing matches. And it's highly unlikely that they're going to allow them to come out unless they can somehow control their quarantining measures. I don't know, shut down a hotel or resort and put them in there, which would be very difficult over the January period. Melbourne's done some really hard yards to be where they are right now, and for them to have another release of it would be really tricky. But then what happens then for the Grand Prix? What happens to all the major sporting events down in Melbourne? I don't know the answer to it. The government and Tennis Australia are working hard to try to come to a compromise. I certainly hope they can come to some type of compromise. But the reality is the players won't come out if they've got to quarantine for 2 weeks and not be able to hit a ball. They just won't be ready to play.
And Pat, as an extension to that, we obviously, it's all about self-interest. We look in our own backyard, and when the final ball is hit on the second Sunday in the men's singles final in that evening, it's not that tennis doesn't exist anymore in this country, but we go on to other sports. You mentioned the Grand Prix, but globally for tennis, so many tournaments would be sitting back waiting for this decision to be made about the Australian Open, because the calendar is cluttered enough as it is. But for the tournaments in the weeks and initial months after the Australian Open, in terms of, well, are we going to have to reschedule? Where can we find a space on the calendar? It's an almighty mess, isn't it?
Yeah, you've done your research well there. And that's the thing, events around the world, they buy the weeks, which allows them to run a tournament throughout the world in that particular place. So you can't just put a tournament in over the top of. It just doesn't really work that way. So they maybe potentially could push it back a week, maybe two, and get away with it. Outside of that, I think they'll be really limited in what they can do. You know, the rest of the world has COVID. I think they're just cruising and doing their thing. But Australia doesn't have it. You know, very, very limited cases. So they're pretty protective of it down here.
Pat, take us back to 99 or 2000. You're world number one and COVID hits. And you had this late slam swing of the US and the French. Would you have played, or would you have done what Ash Barty has done and wait for the Australian Open? How would that affect preparation, do you think?
Well, it depends on where you're based, I guess. I was based overseas, so if I'm there, I would have probably, if I was there in that country, and I may have stayed, I don't know, but highly likely you would have, because, I mean, the whole world shut down for a few months, so probably I would have tried to get home to Australia at that particular time. Ash and Nick, obviously two big Australian players, were here. They chose not to do the travel, and it's a bit of a grind. And it was pretty hard for them as well, because I think they were not knowing when to train, what to train, you know, how to go about it. And people, I guess the other guys like Johnny Millman and Jordan Thompson, they were just itching to get back on the court and play. And for Ash and for Nick, I guess they were sort of sitting back going, well, what do we do here? And they didn't probably prepare, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. So, you know, I really don't know what my call would have been. Gee, it would have been really easy not to have gone. I reckon if I was back in Australia, I probably wouldn't have gone. To go over there with the no crowds and lacking all type of theatre that goes around with those tournaments, and then also the potential of getting COVID, all those type of things, I probably might have stayed. Would have been nice, I reckon.
And a lot of players, I guess, are facing, you know, this conundrum, and a lot are wondering, as you said, if they're going to be able to train when they come here in quarantine. Either way, though, Pat, if the tournament, or even when the tournament goes ahead, do you think we're going to lose quality from matches?
Good question. I can't be as bad as that Tyson fight the other night. So I'm backing it's going to be...
Did you paid your $60?
Oh, gee, I don't know what I was thinking. No, mate, I didn't pay it. I just went around to watch it at his place. If the players don't train, it'll be a bit rusty, especially early on. One of the biggest things, though, is fitness. You know, if you're coming in without 2 weeks of training, I don't know, five best of five sets for the men, it's going to really knock them around. And the Aussie people are probably here. I mean, unless they probably come out here in the beginning of December, it's probably their only thing, come out here now, quarantine and train. I don't know what their rules are. Can they get out here and train and do that? I don't know. It's such a good question, guys. Everything's so up in the air. No one really knows what's going on. The players don't know what's going on. Tennis Australia doesn't know what's going on. I don't even know if Big Dan knows what's going on. So let's just wait and see what happens.
Now, Pat, before we let you go, Sam,
I'm enjoying this.
I'm not sure whether we're allowed to mention the war, but it is coming up 20 years. Of course, his two US Open victories were 97, 98. He has been involved in a delayed Grand Slam before, because his infamous final against Ifanisevic in 01. Mine's not playing tricks. That was on the Monday, wasn't it? Not the Sunday.
Just while I'm breaking up, I can't hear you. Yes, it happened to be on a Monday. We had a bit of wet weather towards the end. I think Goran's match with Timmy Henman went over 2 or 3 days, and I had finished my semi-finals match on Friday, I think. And theirs went, I think they played after me. So the rain must have come in that afternoon. So I played Friday, and I think it was 2 sets to 1 to Tim, and they came back And I can't remember. Whatever happened, we were trying to see if we could play still Sunday, finish off their match and play after that. But the winners both said no, we want to wait till Monday. So it was a free for all on Monday. It was pretty cool, actually. Unbelievable atmosphere. The match was pretty terrible, but in terms of standard, it was just a really tight tennis battle that didn't go my way. But it was pretty amazing theatre. I really enjoyed being part of that. I get reminded from Goran whenever I see him. He's still pretty chuffed about it.
I bet.
So it's not as if I don't hear about it.
No, I was surprised, and it just speaks volumes of the man you are that you use the word enjoyed, because it seems like an obvious question, but is it the one that's still... Well, how long did it take you to get over that loss?
It took me a while. About 20 years. The the Sampras match, actually, was one that was even probably closer to winning. That's the one I choked really badly in the finals the year before. And I was coming back from surgery, so I didn't really expect much. I was struggling to get back into form. So I came in there and just got to the finals and just pretty excited to be back playing tennis at the high level again. And when 2001 came along, I just felt like I wasn't going to lose to Goran. I'd beaten him the last few times, felt pretty confident. And I just thought it was my turn to win. So that hurt because I thought I just wasn't going to win. I mean, excuse me, I just wasn't going to lose. So I guess it makes it a bit harder to deal with the loss.
Pat, it's great to have you on. We don't get to talk to you as much as we'd like, probably because you're in God's country enjoying anonymity in Byron Bay.
Do you blame him?
Yeah, no, with the tennis court that you didn't really want. Anyway, Pat, great to touch base. I hope we get to do it again soon.
Good on you guys. Good to chat.
It was great to chat to him. This is Sports Day.